chapter by chapter. And you know, it's ironic. I grew up in the buckle of the Bible Belt, but it took a pastor from California. California, of all places. To teach me how to love and how to live and how to teach God's Word. And you know, Pastor Chuck, he lets the Bible speak for itself. And it changed my life and it shaped my ministry. And I'm just so thankful for his faithfulness. And it's just a great joy for us to have him with us tonight. Let's give a warm Southern welcome to Pastor Chuck.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Sandy was telling me the South is going to rise again. I noticed that several of the 10 things had to do with food. One of my mentors, who just went to be with the Lord a couple of years ago, he was in his 90s when the Lord took him home. At his funeral, as he was lying there in the casket, hands folded as they usually are, there was a fork in his hand. And as you passed by, they gave you a little slip of paper that explained it. He had been in the ministry for some 60 years, and he said one of the things that he always enjoyed most were the potluck suppers. And he said that as they would gather the plates, they would always say, "Hold your fork, the best is yet to come." And so he had his fork. The best is yet to come. But what a joy it is to have Christian fellowship and to just, in Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek, Southerner nor Northerner nor Californian or whatever. We are all one in him, and you just are at home in the body of Christ, no matter where you might be. What a joy, what a blessing it is for us to be with you tonight, and how we've looked forward to this time that we could share. Turn with me to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 3. One of these little episodes in the life of Jesus. We read here in Mark's Gospel, he entered again into the synagogue. There was a man there which had a withered hand, and they watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he saith unto the man which had the withered hand, "Stand forth." And he saith unto them, "Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days, or to do evil? To save a life or to kill?" But they held their peace. And when he had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, "Stretch forth thine hand." And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. Father, we ask that you would teach us this night from your word. Open our hearts, Lord, that we might hear what the Spirit would say to the church this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. It's the Sabbath day, city of Capernaum. Jesus is entering into the synagogue. As he enters into the synagogue, suddenly there is a tension that is felt throughout the synagogue. For in the synagogue that day, there was a man who had a withered hand. And immediately the Jews began to see as to whether or not Jesus would heal him on the Sabbath day. It's interesting to me that oftentimes the enemies of Jesus understood him better than his own friends or disciples. Inasmuch as when Jesus entered the synagogue that day, the enemies of Jesus immediately knew that he would be interested in the man in the synagogue with the greatest need. They knew that instinctively, that Jesus was always interested in the person there with the greatest need. I don't know who you are here tonight who has the greatest need, but I'll tell you what, you're fortunate, because Jesus is very interested in you, always interested in the one with the greatest need. Isn't it interesting that after Jesus was crucified and placed in the tomb, that the disciples all thought that it was over? The two disciples on the road to Emmaus, we had hope that in him was the deliverance of Israel, but it's past. He was crucified, third day. And yet the Jews went to Pilate and they said, now this fellow said he would rise again the third day, so how about really putting a guard over? You see, they knew the word of Jesus better than his own disciples knew it. They were trying to make sure that he wouldn't come and, you know, or rise again. They were going to try and seal him in. As Jesus enters, there is the tension. It is the Sabbath day, and according to the Jews' interpretation of the law, not the law, but their interpretation of law. You see, God gave the commandments, but then they sought to understand just what he was saying when he said. It's much like we have a basic constitution. But oh my, look at the laws that they have on the books today. I mean, they keep writing. They say, well, that's what you've, you know, hired us for and sent us to Washington for, to write new laws to control your lives. And so they feel that that's their obligation, and they're not doing their job unless they write more laws every year. Sort of sad. Well, the Jews were sort of that way. They had the commandments, but then they had to sit down and they said, now, what does it mean you're not to bear a burden on the Sabbath day? What constitutes bearing a burden? They had a big argument over what bearing a burden actually was. If you have a peg leg, would it be right to strap it on the Sabbath day because it's sort of bearing a burden? And so they determined that no, you couldn't wear your peg leg on the Sabbath day. What about false teeth? Does that constitute bearing a burden? And so all of these little things, you know, what really constitutes bearing a burden? Now, of course, if they lived today, they'd be arguing about false eyelashes, I guess. Does that constitute bearing a burden on the Sabbath day? And so they had what they called the Mishnah, which was the oral interpretation of the law, and then they codified it into the Talmud, and there's some 67 volumes in the Talmud to try to explain what Moses gave us in a few chapters in the book of Exodus. According to their interpretation of the law, it was wrong to heal on the Sabbath day. You could do what was necessary in order to preserve a person's life. For instance, if a person was, say, bleeding to death, you could apply a tourniquet. but you could do nothing towards the healing of that person until the Sabbath day was over. And so it was the Sabbath day, and immediately they were watching Jesus, watching that man with a withered hand, probably sort of furtively looking back at Jesus, looking at this man, and everybody in the synagogue immediately connected things, and they realized that, you know, the tension is on. Is he going to heal this man? It's the Sabbath day. Will he violate the Sabbath day by healing this man? And as the tension began to rise, Jesus, recognizing what the whole situation was, didn't leave them long to wait. He just said to the man with the withered hand, "Stand up." The man stood up. And then Jesus asked them a couple of questions. Is it right on the Sabbath day to do good or to do evil? Well, that's a no-brainer. How could you say it was right to do evil? Well, it must be right to do good. Is it right on the Sabbath day to heal or to kill? Another no-brainer. Never right to kill. Well, it must be all right to heal. And then we read that Jesus looked round about them with anger. Now, that's an emotion that we rarely relate to Jesus. There were a few occasions where it does say that he was angry. But if you will note the occasions where it speaks about Jesus being angry, it was always over those that would seek to keep people away from the help that Jesus was wanting to give. When the parents were coming with their little children, wanting Jesus to bless them, the disciples became very officious. "Don't bother, with your little kids. Don't bother the Lord. He's, too busy for that." And Jesus was upset with them. He said, "Allow the little children to come to me. Don't forbid them. Of such is the kingdom of heaven." Here are these people, religious leaders, who because of their traditions would withhold the work of God on this man with a withered hand. I think that we need to sort of examine carefully and look at some of the traditions that we have developed and make sure that we are not holding people back from the work that God is wanting to do because it doesn't fit with our traditional ideas. Those who take that stand against the Lord's ability to heal people in these days, and they would withhold the work of God in their people's lives who are needing the touch of God today because it doesn't fit with our theological precepts, that all of that ceased with the apostles. And thus, we, because of our traditions that we have developed, would withhold the grace of God and the mercies of God upon people who are suffering and people who are in need. And I think that it still makes him angry when people, because of their traditions, would try to hold back those that are in need from coming to Jesus. He looked around about them with anger, being grieved with the hardness of their hearts. And then he said to the man with the withered hand, "Stretch forth your hand." Now let us get in a time machine. Let's go back a couple of thousand years or a little less. We are traveling from Damascus to Jerusalem. And because it is the Sabbath day, we happen to arrive in Capernaum on Friday during the day. And so we knew that we would have to spend the day in Capernaum. We couldn't travel on the Sabbath. And so we go to synagogue on the Sabbath day. As we are sitting there, they're reading the scriptures. We're there going through the prayers, and suddenly we feel a tension rise in the synagogue, and we look up from our prayer book, and we see a man standing there in the doorway, striking, seemed to have all kinds of authority. And we see the people beginning to whisper and back and forth, and they're looking at that man over there. And we had observed him earlier. We saw the withered hand, and we had wondered, how does he get dressed in the morning? You know, I mean, that must be difficult. And we had noticed him, but now we see that attention seems to be going from that man and the man standing in the doorway. And then we hear him as he says to the man, stand up. Go ahead, stand up. And we see sort of the fire in his eyes as he's looking around at these people. And he asks these interesting questions. Is it lawful on the Sabbath day to do good or to do evil? And we think, well, that's it. Of course you should do good. Is it lawful to heal or to kill? Well, never lawful to kill, but I guess it should be all right to heal. And then we hear him say to the man with the withered hand, stretch forth your hand. At this point, we're ready to jump up. Wait a minute. Who do you think you are? I mean, that's sort of cruel, don't you think? That man is handicapped. Can't you see that his hand is withered? What's wrong with you? Why would you say that to him? It isn't right to treat handicapped people that way. You know, we're just ready to rebuke him. But before we get a chance, the guy is stretching forth his hand. And we stand in amazement. Now, let me suggest to you that when Jesus said to this man, stretch forth your hand, at that point, the man had a choice to make. He could give to Jesus an excuse of why he couldn't. He could offer the reasons. He could tell about the stroke that he had had, how he had lost use, and just how I can't do it. I don't have any capacity. I can't move my hand. It's just there. It just hangs there, and I can't do it. And he could have argued with the command of Jesus. Or he could will to obey the command of Jesus. Though many times he had sent a message from his brain to his hand to move, the hand did not respond. Though he had a long series of failures, though he was fully aware of his incompetency, he could have argued with Jesus, or he could once more from his mind send the message down to the hand to move. He could will to obey the command of Jesus. And in his will to obey the command of Jesus, suddenly he found that everything that was necessary to obey the command was immediately given to him. The moment he willed to obey, all that was necessary to obey was suddenly given to him. As I go through the New Testament, I'm interested in how many times Jesus gave people impossible commands. Take up your bed and walk. Lord, you kidding, you know? I've been lying by this pool for years, waiting for the water to be troubled. I don't have anybody to help me get in the pool. And when Jesus said to him, take up your cot and go home, he could have, again, argued with Jesus, because that was an impossible command as far as he was concerned. But again, in willing to obey the command, everything necessary to obey was given. Jesus is very aware of the blighted areas in our lives. He's very aware of those things that are crippling us from being all that he would have us to be. He knows those things in our life that are holding us in bondage. Those things that we have wept over. Those areas of blight or areas where we are crippled spiritually. Those things that keep us defeated. He knows this perfectly. He knows all of those things in your life tonight. Fully aware of it. But tonight he is speaking to many of you. He is saying, stretch forth your hand. He is saying, be delivered from your bondage to that thing that is holding you in its grip and in its power. Be free. Be set free. And as Jesus is speaking to you tonight, about the blighted area in your life, you again have that choice. Choosing to obey the command of Jesus and saying, thank you, Lord, I will be free. Thank you, Lord, I will receive your victory. Or you can tell him how long you've had the problem, and how hard you've tried to get rid of it, and the many times that you failed, and how you would just love, oh, how much I would love to be free. And you could just, you know, go ahead and tell him all of the reasons why you can't be, all of the reasons why you're still in bondage, all of the reasons why you're still having these problems in your life. And unfortunately, too many times we choose to argue with Jesus, because we are aware of our weaknesses and we are aware of our struggles with our weaknesses and our failures in that struggle. And so we are so prone to argue with him rather than willing to obey the command. Now, I guarantee you tonight, if you are willing to obey the command of Jesus, everything necessary to obey will be given to you in that moment you choose to obey. That moment you say, yes, Lord. He can set you free from a lifetime of bondage. Be free. Yes, Lord. And immediately all that is necessary will be imparted to you through the power of the Holy Spirit, because his commandments are also his enablings if I will to obey. He will not command me to do anything that he will not give me the capacity and the power to do it if I will only will to do the obedience to that command. And so tonight, as our Lord is here, and as he looks down deep inside of each of us and sees those things that we've sought so hard to hide, that blighted area in our life, that area that has kept us crippled from being all that God would have us to be. And as he speaks to our hearts right now and he says, stretch forth your hand, be delivered, be set free. Right now, if you will just but will and say, Lord, I will be free. Lord, I won't be in bondage any longer. I will be free. I will take now, Lord, the liberty that you give to me, the power that you give to me, and I will walk in victory, not in defeat any longer. And the moment you make that decision, imparted to you the power of God to be delivered and to be set free. Let's just listen for him to speak to us tonight about that blighted area in our life that he wants to deal with, that area where he is longing to work, that area that he is wanting to set you free tonight. Hear him as he speaks to your heart. And let's not argue. Let's just say, yes, Lord, I will. Thank you, Jesus. I will. And let us will to obey that command to live a life of victory, an overcoming life in him. Yes, Lord, I will. Not to be bound any longer by that habit. Lord, I'll be free in Jesus' name. And let's receive now that power, that empowering of God's Spirit to enable us to obey that command that to me is an impossible command, but because he has commanded me, he will give me the capacity to do it. I wonder how many tonight would say, Chuck, I will, in Jesus' name, be free. I'm going to accept his victory right now in my life. While our heads are bowed, eyes are closed, this is just personally between you and the Lord. And just in an indication to him, Lord, I hear your voice. I will be free. I will experience, Lord, victory, because you've commanded me to be victorious. And you want to respond and say, Lord, yes, I will. Just lift your hand up and down as an indication of that, because God sees the need tonight and he wants to work mightily in your life. Praise God. Thank you, Father. We will be free. We will, Lord, walk in victory. Lord, we'll become everything you want us to be through the power that you give to us now. Even, Lord, as that man in the synagogue that Sabbath day willed to obey and found that power tonight, Lord, in this place, you are here. And we thank you, Lord, for being here. And Lord, you've addressed the blighted areas of our life, and Lord, you've addressed them. And now, Lord, in Jesus' name, we will be free, and we thank you for it. Amen.